Well, God is good. He's good all the time. I almost always start out my messages like that. That's just what I do. But you know what God has been ministering to me about this week is, Kelly, I'm bigger than any problem that you've got. I'm bigger than the thing that you're so worried about. I'm bigger than the financial issue that you're under. I'm bigger than the healing that you need to be taking place. I'm bigger than the thing that's overwhelming you. I'm bigger than depression that tries to get off on you. And you know what? God is bigger. And I was ministering to somebody this week, and you know, I'm like anybody else. I just want you to know that pastors and preachers, we all put on our britches the same way, all right, 1 foot at a time. So there's things about us that we're the same. We're just folks. We're just the people that God called to just tell it all about their own life. And we were eating. Pastor and I like to eat, and me a little too much. Now, he's been losing weight, and I've been gaining that weight, and that's a problem for me. But I had just eaten a big old meal, and we got back in the car, and my phone began to ring, and it was somebody. And I knew right the moment they called, I knew God was going to want me to minister to them. Now, I'm not going to lie. Diana, I looked at that phone, and I go, ugh. Not because I don't love that person, but because I was full. And when I get full, I get tired. When I get tired, Granny, it's harder for me to hear from the Lord because I'm tired because I overate. You know, these are normal people problems, okay? So I picked up that phone, Brother Mike, and I said, yes, ma'am. And this person, I tell you what, it was like you letting the horse out of the gate. I mean, just as soon as I answered that phone, it was just like, blah, 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 blah. And my little head was going. I was thinking, man, I shouldn't ate that last piece of catfish. I shouldn't ate that hush puppy. I shouldn't ate a couple of them things. Lord, help me next time, because I know you want me to minister to this person. And I felt God say, Kelly, now you just close your eyes and you just listen. A lot of our problem is we cannot listen. We like to talk. We like to interrupt. We like to do all these things. But a lot of the problem is we don't know how to listen. We don't know how to listen to our spouse. We don't know how to listen to our friends. We don't know how to listen to ourselves when ourself is saying, now self, don't do that. You're going to end up in the same place. We can't listen to God because we've listened to everybody else. See, we've done called all the girlfriends. We've done called all our friends. We've done asked them their advice. I'm going to tell you right now that your problem can become your idol. God says, I'm a jealous God. I will not have any other gods before me. I am the one true God. Anything that you put before me, it's going. Why? Because I'm not going to have anything in my place. Because you know what? God gave His Son. There was nothing else that He could give. That was the thing that He had that was worth more than anything. And He willingly gave it up because He said, you know what? This is what it's going to take to save the people that I love. See, if there was something else He could give, He would have given it. Now that's an Arkansas term. He would have given that. Amen? But see, there wasn't nothing else. He gave the thing that's what it was going to take. It was going to take Jesus Christ. There was not another way. And I'm going to tell you, I just shut my eyes and I just said, God help me. Lord help me. And He just immediately began to show me this person's problem has become their idol. Now, what do I mean by that? An idol is anything that you put before the living God. It could be a relationship. It could be an addiction. It could be your problem. It could be the fact that you need a healing to take place and it has not taken place. It could be a worry that you're obsessed with. It could be a behavior that you say, no, I'm going to act like this. I don't care if God loves it. I don't care if He likes it. I'm going to do it because it feels good. If it's a constant filth that you keep getting yourself into, then you know what? That is your idol. Amen. Now look, I think everybody's heard my preaching at least once in here, but if you haven't, I'm going to give you a disclaimer right now. If I offend you, it's because the Word of God is offensive. Why? Because it goes against what you want to do. It goes against what you want to hear. It says that the Word of God, it will pierce through. It will cut through all of the nonsense that we like to partake of. See, it'll pierce through that because God is interested in being the number one thing in your life. He says, you know what? I'll heal you, but you'll put me first. I'll make it better, but you'll put me back on the throne in your life. We got a lot of things, a lot of people. They've taken God out of the number one spot in their life. I'm going to tell you, He's a jealous God. He wants all of your love. He wants your affection. He wants your honor, and He wants your praise. Amen? Now look. You ain't gonna come under here. You may feel uncomfortable. You know what? The Word of God was meant to convict everything that ain't right in your life. It was meant to encourage every part of your life where you've been beat down. And I will not sugarcoat it, not for nobody. If you want sugarcoating, there's about 17 other churches in here. You can't spit in Logan County without hitting a beauty shop or a church. So if this ain't suiting you, come see me afterwards. I've been here all my life. I can show you somewhere else to go that might sugarcoat something for you. But Brother Mike, we're living in the last days, and sugarcoating does not save souls. It confuses people. It makes them feel like what they're doing and what they're partaking in is right. It gets them to justifying the thing that God's saying, no, it ain't right. I'm not happy with it. See, you're not going to hear that here, because I'm interested in one thing this morning, and it's your soul. That's it. I ain't interested in keeping up little relationships just so y'all be happy with me. God is the number one concern. God, I'll say what you want me to say. God, I'll do what you want me to do. God wants you whole this morning. God wants you happy this morning. What does it take to get there? Wiping out all the junk that you put up in your life, that you let God be second to. It's that right there. Now we're going to look in Exodus chapter 34. We're going to look at verse 10, and it says, "Then the Lord said, I am making a covenant with you. Before all your people, I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world." And I'm here to tell you today, today's a new day. God wants to do things for you that you've never seen. God wants to do things for you that you never thought He could do. God wants to bring about things. Man, God will do it in an unconventional way. I was sitting at a wedding this weekend, and I was talking to a very precious woman, and she said, "Kelly, you see that tree? That tree is about 100 years old, and it has been through many storms and survived them all." Let me tell you something. When God made you, He gave you the ability to overcome every single thing that would come your way. Yeah. Thank you, God. And therefore, we got to get out all these idols. We got to stop thinking certain things important, Jody, that they ain't important. Amen. "I will do wonders never before done in any nation and in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. Obey what I command you today." See, what is God calling you to do today? Now, the Word of God says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Now, let me tell you what happens. I've been in church my entire life. And that right there alone causes me to be very skeptical sometimes, because I've just seen just about everything. That's what happens to preachers' kids. You just aren't. You just fight something inside of you that makes you want to be cynical and skeptical. But what happens is you can sit through a service like this. You can have the rockin'est preacher preaching at you. You can have somebody like me yelling for 45 minutes. And it's a feel-good thing. It's a thing that you know God's talking to you about. But the moment that you walk out the door, it goes out the window. Now, I'm telling you today, if you hear His voice, if I'm saying something that convicts that heart, if your soul says, soul, I know there needs to be a change, I'm telling you, we are living in the last day. Don't go out that door and harden your heart, getting back in the same filth that God sets you free from. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to tell you, because you know what? We really are living in the last day. Look around. Look at around at all we're going through. All this crazy weather. See, that's ministered about in the Bible. It's just how it is, Aunt Pat. We winding this thing down. The idols that we put above God, they got to go. God will not have it. He then said, I'm a jealous God. I want all of you. Now, some of us think, well, God, I don't want to give you the bad part because I know it's not pleasing. No, He wants that too. He wants it all. He wants everything. Everything that you think is going to be a disappointment to Him. Everything that's been a disappointment to you. Everything that's hurt you. Everything that's stunted you. The thing that you're putting in His place. Mama Brenda has got to go. Why? Because it's an idol. And it says, obey what I command you today. I will drive out before you the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites. Look, I said this in my last message. All themites. All them. Okay? We're not going to read through all that. And it says, break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and cut down their poles. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. I dated a guy one time, and I refer to this because you know what? Let me tell you something. You're not the only one that's ever had the problem that you're going through right now. You're not the only one that's ever had a broken heart. Jesus' heart was broken when He was on the cross, dying for things He did not do. And it's not that He died for those sins, it's the fact He became the sin. See? So I preach about things that I've gone through. Why? Because it keeps me relevant. You ever sat through preaching, you had no idea what they were talking about? I have. Now, it wasn't his preaching. But I have done that before. We've had some people up in here and I thought, what on earth? I am going to take a nap in this service. I am going to look at the clock for the next 45 minutes because this is boring. I don't know what they're talking about. I still don't know. I used to do my own little meetings with all the guest speakers that we used to have. And I used to say, now come here. Now I'm the preacher's kid. And this has got to be short and sweet. You need to limit your preaching. Dad never knew I did that. The funny thing is I became a long-winded preacher. God has a sense of humor. I could go for hours. I got Evan one day a few weeks ago. And I just let him have the biggest, longest lecture. And him and Dad both looked at me like, oh my God, because they realized I could go on for hours longer. That's what I do. It's a knack. It's my niche. I'm good at it. But I preach about things that actually happen. So all of us can relate. But I dated a guy one time, and I was one of those morons that said, Jody, now I'm going to try not to spit on you. I do that to Joe every time. I'm going to back up a little bit, brother. Now, I can't help who I fall in love with. You can help it. You better learn how to help it because it will send your soul to hell. Glory, we're going to preach truth. I'm not backing down. Let me tell you something. I would rather preach to a group of complete strangers. Why, Diana? Because you know what? I get accused of preaching at things that I know is going on. Let me just clear the record right here and right now. I will not dance around what's going on in your life if I know it or if I don't. I'm going to preach what God says to preach. Why? Kayla, the moment I don't do that, God does not need me anymore. So I don't dance. First of all, I have no rhythm. So it just is what it is. But I was dating this guy and I just saw, oh, he was so wonderful. And I fell in love with him. When it went bad, I had never in my life felt that torment and that brokenness. I was driving home through the Bottoms one day in my red Chevy Blazer that I just had to have when I was about 18. I still don't know why I wanted that vehicle, because it was too big for me. That wasn't even practical. It was a big old bus thing. The first thing I did when I bought that thing was back up into somebody. But I was driving home and I just felt the brokenness that I had never felt in my entire life. And Patty, I heard the voice of the enemy and he said this: I just broke your heart. Now look here. If you can hear God, if you can feel God in your soul and in your heart, you can also feel the devil. You know when the devil is trying to get at you? You know when he's trying to talk you into doing something? You know it. And the moment that I heard those words, I fell apart. I stayed, fell apart for very many months. Many months. You know why? Because that relationship was my idol. God, I want to be with that person more than I want anything else. I don't care if it's right. I don't care if it's wrong. God, that's what I want. I even slapped God's name on there and said, "Brother Charlie, man, God told me this person's good. I'm going to be with him." See, look here, you ain't going to stamp God's name on something. Man, the truth will always outlive a lie. The truth stands above anything else. What is truth? He is truth. He'll set you free if you want to be set free. But I was very broken for a very long time. And one day I just asked God, I just began to get real with the Lord and for the very first time in my life. And I said, "God, why am I broken? I have never felt this before." This is what he said to me. He said, "Kelly, I am a jealous God. You put that person before me. You made them your idol. You made them your God. The pain that you feel, you bought it." Now look here. God will set you free. He will mend every broken place. But you know what? Get all them idols out of the way. And if you refuse to do that, don't wonder why you keep coming up to the same place in your life. Why you keep coming up broken. Why you keep coming up without. Why you keep coming up with the same problem year after year after year. Now, I used to be somebody that used to think, this is what I used to say. And now that I've gotten older and I've matured a little bit, I realize how just ignorant it is. I used to say, "Well, it don't matter what that person does. It don't matter what they do. They're the ones that got to live with it." No, that is not the truth. I was looking at all this flooding that we had. All these pictures, it's devastating. And is the levee going to break? Is this levee going to break? Is this going to happen? This game of what if? Do I need to do this? God, am I going to lose it all? Let me tell you something. When your bad decisions spill over the levee, there's going to be a flood. Don't sit there be scratching your head wondering why you got what you got. Because, see, there was an idol. We make decisions solely on the fact that, man, we want that thing so bad. I'm not just talking about relationships here. I'm talking about anything that you put in God's place. It doesn't matter what it is. For many, many years, I put a job in God's place to the point that I didn't know who I was anymore, to the point that it changed me, to the point it has taken me a year and a half just to get back to a semi-normal self. As normal as I could be. See? Anything can be your idol if that's what you're putting in God's place. He's a jealous God. Now let's go to Leviticus chapter 19. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4. And it says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy, because I, the Lord, am holy.'" Not everything that God is going to call you to do is going to suit your fancy. Not everything that He wants you to do is going to be comfortable. The holiness that God's calling you to walk in that seems mediocre and boring, you best get over it. Somebody asked Dad a while back, they said, "Brother Angelo, you need to get to telling us young folks how to be and how not to get in so much trouble, Sister Rita, because things are just different." He didn't skip a beat. He never does. He said, "There is nothing new under the sun." See, you want to justify your behavior? I justify my behavior. I still do it. I'm not sitting up here acting like I don't justify things that I'm doing when they're wrong. I do. I justify them till the cows come home. Now, what do? See, you're not having somebody up here preaching, acting like they're better, saying you. No, I'm saying we. We do it. We know we do it. We got to keep it real, because if you don't keep it real, you're going to end up confused one day. You're going to wake up and you're not going to know who you are, because all those things that you put above God, the levee broke. Here comes the flood. And it says, "Each of you must respect his mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols or make gods." See, we make these things bigger than God. It's just what we do. I've had a problem for a year and a half, and I'm not going to lie. A lot of days when I woke up, I made it my idol. I let it control my happiness. I kept telling God, "God, if you just let me have a breakthrough in this area of my life, God, I would be happy. This would be the thing that would make me happy." And you believe that until you get the thing that you were waiting for. And Brother Larry, oh my gosh, I still wasn't happy after that. See? For a year and a half, though, it was my idol. Now, God was, you know what? God knew that thing could not make me happy, but I put a thing in His place. That's probably why the thing did not come about for a year and a half. Because, see, God's going to teach us some things. Because He doesn't want anybody there in His place. He doesn't want anybody getting all of our love and all of our affection. You know what? There's a place, man, in God. I love my husband and my husband loves me. But when it comes to certain different types of affection, Kayla, there's things that my heart can only feel for the one that made me. When I feel misunderstood, when I feel like nobody can get what I'm going through, I know that God gets it because He knows me. My heart can fool me. My heart can be deceitful. But see, God knows everything that's in my heart. He knows how to help me examine it. He knows when to judge it. He knows when to tell me, get that out of your life. Stop going back to that. See, God knows everything that you're going through. And God knows the idol that you put in His place. And it says, don't make gods of cast metal for yourselves, because I am the Lord your God. Let's go to Judges chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 11 through 14. And it says, the Lord replied when the Egyptians, the Amorites, all these ites, when they oppressed you and you cried to me for help, did I not save you from their hands? How many of you ever been through something God got you out of? Keep your hand up. See, God's looking. You know why He's looking? Because He wants to know if you can identify the fact that He got you out of something that you could not get yourself out of. You can put your hand down. This is what He said. Did I not save you from those things? When all those things come against you, when you went through all the bad stuff, didn't I save you? Well, yeah. See, we forget. We have a very short memory from the time that God makes everything all blissful and wonderful and good, when He puts His blessing on our life and things fall into place and it's all going good. You begin to forget. The key in Christianity is to not let yourself forget the things that God has done. You know why, Diana? Because in this world, you're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulation. They won't stop. That's not how this life is down here. It's going to be constant. There's going to be things, man, but it says, I've overcome the world. Don't forget what God has done, because you know what? Life is life. It rains on the just. It rains on the unjust. The moment you get out of one problem, sometimes it seems like three problems take its place. And He says here, did I not get you out of that? But you have forsaken me and served other gods. We can serve the God of finances or the lack thereof. We can serve the God of, oh, I need a healing, and God, I'm mad at you because you haven't done it yet. You can serve the God where, you know what? I want to be with that person. There's a lot of gods. He says, don't serve other gods. So I will no longer save you. Go and cry out to the gods you have chosen, and let them save you when you are in trouble. See, we're not going to crucify Jesus on the cross again. When He died for your sin, when He died for my sin, He did it. It was a thing. It took the very first time. And He deserves that place in our soul and in our heart where it's Him and it's you. You want true intimacy with God? You get to that place where you can feel that His arms, they really are around you. We get so numb to things. Life has worn us down. We get to a point where we can't feel God. Miss Rita, He's all around you. He is wrapping Himself around you. We got to get to that place where we feel that, where we know that it's there, where we trust in it when we can't see anything else. I called my mother. I said, Mother, how are you and Dad making it with them waters? Because their 10 acres has turned into a lake. And Mother was out shopping. I would have been taking truckloads of my stuff and putting them up on a hill or something. Not Mother. Mother said, Kelly, The last time that God and I talked, God knows where I live.
Yes.
And she said, when you go through something like cancer, a little water seems like nothing. You put God back on the throne. Get all that stuff that we're trying to make right that will never be right. And let me tell you something. Sometimes even the right thing at the wrong time, it's still wrong. Trust in His timing. Trust in the fact that He knows when to give you the thing that you're asking Him for. And if you ain't going to obey Him, if you ain't going to put Him first, stop asking Him for stuff. I know that is the boldest thing I've said all morning, but it's the truth. See, put Him back where He belongs. Sometimes I wonder, God, what will people say to you on Judgment Day? You know what He tells me? Kelly, preach my word and mind your own business. Okay, God. Look here, God knows I'm nosy. And I ain't going to lie. Sometimes when I see folks out on Saturday night and they're all fine and they can't come to church on Sunday morning, I ain't going to lie. I'm a little pricked. Now, He didn't say that. I said that. It gets irritating. You know what God tells me, Kelly? You preach my word. Doesn't matter if there's two people in there and they all playing hooky. Or if they're all in the house because they're putting me number one. So you know what, Brenda? That's what we do. It ain't easy putting God first because there's so many things that the devil will put in front of our face making it look like it deserves higher up than it is. There is nothing that compares to the living God. Nothing. Not one thing. Let's go to Psalms chapter 16. We're going to look in verses 4. And you know, I've been in a point in my life where it seemed like nothing was going right. Nothing will go right for you when you got something up in there that's coming up in between you and your Savior. It ain't going to go good. Why? Well, you know what? From the moment my kids could talk, they said no, and they wanted to know why.
Yeah, there you go.
Them little boogers. I got a 7-year-old that I know the Lord's probably calling him to be a lawyer because, man, he can say some things, and they get me to thinking that he's actually got a point. I mean, I forget what I'm even arguing with him about. No, why he can't. Because he's got a very legitimate point. Because he's like me. He's very intelligent, right on the spot. Amen. Miss Brenda knows. She watches him sometimes. But I've been in those places where I thought, God, I know there's a problem between me and you because there's things that aren't going right in my life. Now, does every time when something ain't going right, does that always mean there's something in between you? Nope. Sometimes it's just a trial that God is bringing you through. God proves Himself over and over to us. He loves us. He said, I'll never let you go. I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. But there, you know what? If you've got something in between you and God, you know it. And it's only when we've become comfortable with letting it be there that we're in trouble. It's like when mother showed up with cancer. The doctor said, now I'm going to wait a few months to get you an appointment. That didn't sit good with my ears at all. I called up her cell phone and I said, that is not going to work. I'm not taking no for an answer. You're going to give her that appointment. You're going to figure it out. I don't care if it is up at UAMS where they take their time. God is God, God. But you know what? Aunt Patty, I did not let that become my idol. When cancer comes on folks like Sister Millie, sometimes you think, now what on earth? God gave me a blessed assurance. Kelly, I got it. Kelly, give it to me. I've never trusted a person in the hands of God so much that I did with my mother. God, I know you'll heal her body. God, I'll know that you're taking care of her. See, when we get our loved ones, the thing that can get up in you real quick like is when you love your loved ones so much, maybe they ain't doing right, maybe there's something wrong with them, maybe they want a healing, that can just consume you. But I'm telling you, if you'll give God your loved one, if you'll not let that be an idol to you, God has got that. He knows what to do. He knows when to do it. He knows if they're going to have to take another lap around. He knows the surgeon to give them to them. God knows it all. That's why nobody else, nothing else can be in his place. And it says, the sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. Ain't that the truth? Now look here, I'm not a runner. I really never have been. Why? Because I don't like to be out of breath or sweat. Just to be honest with you, that's really not my thing. If I got a sweat to do it, Miss Julie, I'm not doing that. I'm a sweater. I mean, boy, when I got married, that beads of sweat was rolling down my armpit. I was just praying to God we were going to get through that thing. I just kept on wiping that sweat off. I thought, man, I'm sweating in here like a stuffed pig. I felt like I was getting in $1 million worth of debt committing my life to Jeremy. Man, that was the best thing that I've done other than accepting Jesus as my Savior. But let me tell you something. There's a place. Jeremy told me about it when he married me. He said, I'll never love you the way that I love God. I don't ever want him to. You know why? Because he'll run our family in the ditch if he does. That's just how it is. If you're single in here, find somebody that will tell you that. Find somebody that will say, you know what? I love you, but man, I love God. I'll always love him more than you. I'll always put him before you. That's what you're looking for. Nothing else is any good. And it says, the sorrows of those who run after other gods, they increase. You want some sorrows to stop coming up, stop increasing? You want them to recede? Stop running to other things other than the Lord. See, there's things only God can do. Only God can help, only God can heal, only God can make right, and only God can mend. Let's go to Acts here. Chapter 2, verse 17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke, and the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, they're going to be saved. Something got you messed up this morning? Like Pastor said, are you torn? You let something get too much in there. Shouldn't have been up in there. Be a whosoever. Call on His name. Call on God. I've heard that all my life. I got so numb to that for years, Miss Rita. Because you hear, oh, call on God. God loves you. You get to where it really doesn't mean anything. Am I right? Let's be honest. After all, it is Sunday. We're going to give God His day, and we're going to give Him some honesty. Sometimes we get numb, and calling out to God is a thing that we've gotten out of practice of. You'll sit there in the worship service, and instead of just getting into it and giving God your love and your worship, you're going to be critical. I don't like this song. Oh, they offbeat. Look, don't stand by me because you're going to be offbeat. Lord. But you know what? I've come to a place, there doesn't even have to be music. There don't have to be singing. There don't have to be all the fluff and the frills and all this stuff. Man, get along with God. Put Him on, up in your heart. Put Him in the place where He's exalted among everything else, above everything else. Lift your hands, man, because when you're lifting those hands, you're saying, God, I'm putting You first. I'm giving You the one thing, God, I can give You. That's my praise. See, if you won't praise Him, the rocks will cry out and praise Him. You put them hands up, let me tell you, after that thing with that dude that I gave my heart to, and God said, Kelly, you messed up. I didn't tell you to give your heart to Him. See, God will tell you who to give your affection to. And when you screw that up, you get ready for some heartbreak, because that's what you're going to get. Because it is an awful feeling. I can't even describe that feeling. It is just like, ugh. There's not another feeling like that. I sat up there, and I came to that place. This is exactly where I was sitting. And I said, God, I'm tired of making excuses. I'm sorry for putting Your name on this mess. It was my filth. I own it. I accept the chastisement that You've given me over it. And God, right now, I know that if I call on Your name, God, if I'll give You praise, God, if I'll exalt You, God, if I'll give You everything over right now, God, You'll come in and You'll make it better. Diane, I stood up there. My sister started singing in the presence of Jehovah. See, there's things that's only going to be healed in His presence. There's things that's only going to be mended in His presence. That's why He's saying, call on Me. Call on Me. I'll answer you. I'll come into you. I put my hands up there. Rita, as God is my witness, I had never in my life, not even as a preacher's kid, felt the Lord in that way. He came in there. Cindy, I felt like a brand new woman. You know what? But there was something in me that said, God, I will never again put a relationship in Your place. God, I won't have that idol. God, I'm sorry. You don't think sometimes we owe God an apology? You don't think you can hurt God's feelings? You sure can. We were designed and we were made in His image. You got emotion, He's got emotion. You got a ticked off button. Some of us got more than others. You high strung. You got Italian blood running through your body. It's not a free pass. You put Him first. Last place for me, Colossians chapter 3. And it says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. See, get your heart and get your mind, get them in the right place. Keep them in the right place. Get all that stuff up out of you. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ. See, when you asked Him into your heart, you said, God, I'm with You. I give up the right to be just some normal human that, you know, when we do things, Sometimes I catch myself when I'm talking to somebody, Aunt Patty, and I say, well, you know, that's just normal to feel that way. And God catches me. And then I say, stop being normal. Stop justifying such and such. Well, a normal person would feel this way. If you don't want a normal life, if you want a supernatural life, stop justifying how you feel all the time. Stop justifying what we do, the things that we know aren't pleasing, the things that we've put in His place. Set your mind on something that's above. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. That's what we're talking about today. Anything that's in His place, it's an idol. I'm going to skip down. And it says here in verse 10, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed. See, when you choose to put God in the place where you know only He should be, He's going to renew you. That's when the floodgates of heaven start coming open for you. When it seems like things are turning around. When things open up that you know He did for you. The provision that would have never been there had He not have provided. A lot of people, they get the goodies from God and they leave God. There should have been a lot more amens right there in that place. A lot of people get God's goodies. They get His favor. They get His provision. They start edging up on the things that they know they should not be in. And they go one step over the line eventually. And it's bad. And we don't have to go through that. Sometimes we choose that over and over and over. I did that wedding this weekend, and you know what I realized? I have to choose God every single day. It wasn't just something that I did one time when I was 7 years old. I have to wake up and choose Him every single day. There's times where I want to choose my sin. There's times where I want to be a hag. There's times where I want to tell people how I really feel. And then I'm going to have to forfeit all of this. See, what's more important? Keeping God on the throne, keeping the provision and the favor that only can come from Him, or all the idols? We're keeping it real. Now I'm going to turn this over to Pastor because this sounds just like a message. He'll know exactly how to follow up with it. So welcome him back.
Well, I think what I was thinking during this message is that there's places in my life I need to make adjustments. And that's what good preaching does. It puts light on things in your heart. If you're feeling like that, stand up with me. There's places I need to make adjustments, and Lord, help me to try to make those adjustments. Father, as people are deciding, I've already decided, Lord, help me to make the adjustments in my life and help us that are standing that we need to make to keep you number one in our life with nothing false over the top of you. Help us in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. And let's just have Brad and Hannah to come up here for a minute. And, you know, the last time you saw them, well, this time anyway, because you're blessed, worthy, because you are the children of God, not because we've done everything right today, but because He's the Father of His people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace and give you a sense of direction as to which way to go next. And everyone said amen. And remember those who have lost tremendously in our community have lost due to the flood.